Consider for a moment a relationship in which you find yourself. It could certainly be with a spouse, it could be with a child, a significant other, or just a friend. I'm going to describe for you five levels of communication as given in Before You Say I Do by Norman Wright. My question to you is, which level are you communicating on in this relationship? Think of communication as a body of water. It is bigger and more shallow at the surface. The top level, level five, is cliche conversation. It's very safe. We do it with almost everyone, but there is really no personal sharing. How are you? Did you see the end of that game? At this level, each person remains safely behind their defenses. Level four communication is reporting facts. You're content to tell others what someone has said or done or needs to do, but really offer no personal information on the facts. Pick up the kids after school. We're going to mom's for lunch. The vet charged $50. It's more like the 6 o'clock news in giving facts, but no feelings are involved. Level three is about ideas and judgments, and real communication begins at this point. The person is willing to step out of their confinement and risk telling personal ideas and decisions, but the person is cautious, ready to withdraw if not accepted. Level two is about feelings and emotions, how the person feels about everything communicated before. That's done at greater risk. But a person must move to this level of sharing feelings if he is to share himself with another. Level one communication is about complete emotional and personal communication. It's a level of great personal risk where all deep relationships are based on absolute openness and honesty. That relationship I asked you to consider, which level are you communicating in with that other person? What levels do you move to frequently? Now think for a moment about your level of communication with the Lord God. Do you ever move past levels 5 and 4 with Him? More specifically, do you allow Him to communicate with you via His Word? If you're going to hold what the Bible says about life in your life, you need to. In fact, you have to. Do you want Him to? This morning, answer this question. Which level of communication are you allowing God to have with you? Turn with me to Psalm 119, and we're going to start in verse 25. We're going to look at three of the strophes, three of the paragraphs of the psalm, and that first one is verse 25. The psalmist says, "My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me. And graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart." Allow the Lord God to communicate through his word because it meets your deepest needs. Listen for what the Lord will say. The psalmist begins the passage with a description of acute stress. His soul cleaves to dust. Now, you got to understand, too, that in that day, if they were going to grieve, they weren't going to go to the funeral home. They were going to go in their house and they would throw dust on themselves. It was a sign that they were in grief, that they were grieving. And he said, "My soul cleaves to the dust." Bad, life is bad. It goes past saying that I'm sad or I'm blue or I'm down in the dumps. Life was bad. And he prays, asking God to revive him. He says, make me alive through your word, by what you have to say, Lord. Make me, the psalmist says, make me understand. Make me understand. First, in verse 28, he describes his life as dripping out tears or melting due to his heavy heart. Life was not good. So the psalmist made known to God his life and he listed it out. Then he asked God to teach him, allow him to study his statutes, his law. He asked God to allow him to distinguish God's way of living by what God says about life. Notice the ways he says he will approach God's word, or how he looks at it. Revive me according to your word. Teach me. Make me to understand. Let me meditate on your word. Let me grant me your law so that I can think about how it is that you want me to live. He said, I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. I shall run the way of your commandments. And then the passage ends with a declaration. As I rush through life, I will do it God's way. I will trust Him to enlarge my heart, my innermost being, so that I can handle, so that I can deal with, according to what God's Word says, all that life is going to throw at me. His Word meets your needs. Maybe life has you feeling like Chippy the bird. Chippy was a parakeet. And his troubles began when his owner decided to clean out his cage one day with a vacuum cleaner. About the time the vacuum cleaner got turned on, the phone rang, and as the owner went to catch it, and Chippy was gone. So he opened the bag, and there Chippy was, all covered in dust and soot and everything that the owner had just been vacuuming up on the floor. So the owner decided to go to the sink with Chippy and wash him off. Then he just realized that Chippy was shivering because of the cold water, and so out comes the hair dryer. Poor Chippy. Never knew what hit him. Asked later about the bird's condition, the owner said, he doesn't sing much. He just sits and stares. Well, it's not hard to see why. That's enough to steal the song from the Stoutest of Hearts. So has life caused you to sit and stare? Or wake up in the middle of the night crying? Life does that, doesn't it? What is your deepest need this morning? Some are dealing with physical issues. The prognosis is not good. Some of you are dealing with financial issues. Some of you are dealing with relational issues. The family just doesn't get it. Some of you are dealing with emotional issues because something has happened. What's your deepest need? Could you honestly use words the psalmist did to describe your approach to God's word? Are you asking Him to teach you? Or would it be more honest to say you are casual or indifferent toward God's word? Are you praying for Him to speak to you so that you might hear? Are you putting yourself into His word so that He can teach you? He wants to meet your deepest needs. And He has through His word. But if we don't open the answer, how are we going to get the answer? We're going to be changing how we do the listening report. We're going to go to once a month. But my desire for you is for when we have that hands will shoot up all over the congregation of saying, God said this to me. And it can be real profound that God met my greatest needs because of what's going on in my life. Or it may just be that, like the choir saying, God is good all the time. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It may not be a good day. The weather may not be what you want, but you know what? The Lord made it, and it's good, and I'm going to rejoice in it. That may be what you need to hear. Are we really seeking after Him? He wants to communicate with you on a deeper level than ever before through His Word. So which level are you allowing Him to communicate with you on? Communicate with God through His Word so that you may actively live it out. Let's pick up and read again in verse 33. Verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness." Listen for what the Lord may say, then live it out. Sometimes we speak of head knowledge versus heart knowledge. How about foot knowledge? How about living out God's word? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The psalmist first asked God to teach him the ways of his statutes. Teach me. I need to hear your word. And the word teach has the connotation of an archer shooting arrows at a target. Teach me your word. Let it hit deep into my heart, just where it needs to be. Then the psalmist asks for insight, understanding of God's law and life so that he can live it out. You know, you read through some of the Old Testament and you think, why in the world is this in the Bible? Well, the question is not why. The question is, what do you need to do with it? It's there for a reason. You just need to figure out the reason. And so that's what the psalmist is asking here. Lord, give me understanding. Help me to understand your law and life so that I can live it out. Then the picture of a path is used, of God's instruction. We live by a path. Do you know that? Have you realized that? It's, what, 2,100 miles long. God bless all those hikers that are getting ready to hike them. I want to feed them breakfast and send them on their way because I'm not going to hike it myself. But that's God's word. There is a way to get from where we are in life, all amidst all the troubles, amidst all the things going on that hurt us, there's a way to get to where God intends for us to be, and that way is His Word. That's what the psalmist is saying here. He uses this picture. The psalmist doesn't overlook his attitudes. He asks God to bend his heart to His Word. And he realizes that if he doesn't, that his heart will be toward dishonest gain, coveting things. And then he ends this passage with the statement of having longed for God's words, God's precepts, God's mandates. And he asks God to make his life alive with his attribute of righteousness. We are to live out God's word. During my freshman year of college, I had to take a course. I could, whatever I chose, I can't even think of the word right now, an elective, there's the word. I decided I would take tennis. And the tennis coach was the instructor. And he taught us how to hit the different shots. He taught us all the different strategies. And if you talked to me about playing tennis, I could talk to you about playing tennis. The problem was I couldn't play tennis. And what God is telling us, challenging us to do this morning, is to play tennis in life. Not talk about God's word and the nuances of this verb and all this stuff. He is telling us to live out His word. Live it out. I fear we are quickly becoming a people who are biblically illiterate. We don't know what God's word says, and sadly it seems we don't care. No wonder we can't live it out. If we don't know what God's word says, how are you going to live it out? Bible study is important in your life because God can and wants to teach you His ways, to put into your life what you need to live in a way pleasing to Him. Do you want that? Do you give it enough time? Oh, now you've gone from preaching to meddling. Do you really give Bible study time and energy and persistence? Think about the value statements you made this week. It's not a question of if you have time. The question is, did you make time? What was your priority? Maybe your prayer needs to be, give me a hunger to hunger. Give me a thirst to thirst. Give me a desire to desire. Which level are you communicating with Him? Communicate with God through His word because His word is eternal. Turn with me to verse 89. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to Your ordinances, for all things are Your servants. If Your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget Your precepts, for by them You have revived me. I am Yours, save me, for I have sought Your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider Your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. Listen for what the Lord says. Live it out because His word lasts. Let me remind you of the isms that are attacking us. Narcissism, the love of self. Hedonism, the love of pleasure. Materialism, the love of things. All these are epidemic. Naturalism, which says matter and energy is all there is. Relativism, which denies any objective, universally valid human knowledge. Rationalism, which holds reality is rational in nature, and proper deductions lead to knowledge. And the psalmist knew better than all that. In this passage, he contrasts what stands with what perishes, what is unchanging to that which changes. God's word is forever. Forever. It is established. It has not and it will not change. God's faithfulness will see to it. God's faithfulness will see to it. His word takes on His faithfulness, His unchangingness. And if that's not a word, then I just coined a new word. His unchangingness. Yet you can know God Himself, and you can know His word. The psalmist then gives testimony to what God's word, His law, has done in his life. If God's law had not been His delight, He would have perished. And so he makes the commitment to never forget God's word, to always live according to God's word, God's precepts. They revived him. They gave him life. They gave him purpose. They gave him a reason for being. And he said, I'm going to live it out. Because God's word speaks to all life. And God's word lasts forever. In your mind's eye, come go with me back to my home state of Oklahoma. Imagine standing out in the middle of a highway on a hot summer day. You've been walking and then you turn around and look to where you came from. And it's just as straight can be. And as far as you can see, it's just straight to the point of vanishing. And you see all this heat shimmering up off the pavement. And then you turn around to where you're going and it's just as straight as far as the eye can see. And that's God's word. It's unchanging. It's unchanging. Do you have a sense of God's infiniteness? His greatness? His glory? If tonight is as clear as last night was, and you may have to come get out of town a little bit, but go out and look up into the night sky and tell me if you can count all the stars. That's a reminder of who God is, His infiniteness, His greatness. Do you also have a sense of Him being personally involved in your life? As you look at your life and as you look at the world, which way does it work? That you let Scripture speak to the world or the world speak to Scripture? The psalmist said, God's law is my delight. Is it a delight to you? Or is it something to contend with and endure? He said he would never forget God's precepts, never become oblivious to them. Is that your approach, your attitude toward God's word? You want God to save you, but have you sought out his precepts? When I start plants for the garden, once they are up, I start monitoring and providing and increasing two things the plants need to bear fruit. One is light. Because I start them indoors with limited and artificial light, I gradually harden the plants off, increasing the amount of sunlight they receive. The other is the amount of fertilizer. I dilute the fertilizer in the first waterings, gradually increasing it until I'm up to full strength. Without full amounts of both, they will not bear fruit. And the same is true in your life. The same is true for our spiritual lives. If you are not increasing in knowing Jesus as the light of the world and all that means, you will not bear fruit. And if you are not growing in His Word, seeking Him, learning of Him through His Word, communicating with Him on a deeper level, then you're not going to bear fruit. Is studying God's Word important to you? Is reading God's Word important to you? Do you believe it will meet your deepest needs? Are you studying and growing as a disciple of Christ who lives out God's Word? His Word is settled in heaven. Is it being settled in your life?